Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Homer Potts Happy Hour. Delightful to see everybody again. We are fantastically rejoined with the lovely Sheena, who's joined us again.
Yeah.
Fantastic to have you back.
Sheena's part of the gang now.
She's part of the gang.
She's like a new friend.
Oh, thank you. I wanted new friends and I've got you three.
Oh, we're so blessed. So, it's lovely to see you again. And plenty to discuss, plenty to talk about, as usual. The first thing is sad stroke, not sad. Unfortunately, it doesn't appear that anyone's died this week.
Blimey.
So we've got no celebrity.
Surely there's somebody.
No one's died.
But how do you register that, Stu? Sure, I mean, people clearly have died. Are they not famous enough?
No, they're just not famous enough. They're just not famous enough. They have. It has to be celebrity deaths.
I see.
So, but what we it feels like a celebrity death. And that's the sad demise of the marriage of Nicole Kidman and her country guitar playing husband, Keith Urban.
I was very shocked about that.
I'm struggling to give a toss.
I really thought they were in for the long haul. I thought they were really, really in love. I'm so surprised when I saw that.
I feel sad for the children, I have to say, because they did seem very much a couple, didn't they?
Yeah.
Have they consciously uncoupled?
No, I think it's pretty acrimonious by all accounts.
Really?
From what I read this morning in the Daily Mail, so it must be true.
Must be true.
It's turning pretty aggressive already, apparently. 19 years, apparently. That's a long time.
No.
In the celebrity world, that's an awfully long time.
It is.
Yeah.
That's
so,
a shame. Yeah,
real shame.
That's big news.
But they haven't been part of each other's lives for years. Haven't they? Haven't they lived separately?
Well, I think they do. She's always away working.
Apparently, that's half the problem, Martin. He's always touring. She's made so many films and TV series recently.
That, she has, hasn't she?
That they can never. She seems to be in everything.
Mm.
Rumours of a younger
for him having a younger
thing, and there. But there's also rumours of her being a bit, you know, trying to put out this image of her being like this, you know, very, very sort of temptress, older lady, you know, a lot of her roles, which apparently hasn't gone down well. That's what the papers said. So
was she in The Baby? Was it her latest film?
She did have one, didn't she, where
yes.
she's the boss and has an affair with a much younger worker and she's in charge. Yeah, that's erotic
exactly.
TV series. I haven't watched that because basically, I have to say, I'm not a massive fan.
You probably didn't recognise her anymore anyway. You know,
I
she's changed
her.
So much facially.
Yeah.
But maybe...
I loved her in Big Little Lies.
Oh,
that
that's
series.
Brilliant.
That
yeah.
was, she was good in that. But I don't... Yeah, and Lion. Was she in... She was in Lion.
She's Lion, yeah.
That
she,
was
yeah, that's... Yeah. So she's in that. So that, that sort of stuff. So yeah, that... But generally quite sad. But obviously today's podcast is the 1st of October today for anyone listening a little bit later. We're doing this on the 1st of October. And that means... A very important day in man law.
Steady.
It is in man law because today is the day that the heating is officially allowed to go on.
Not in my house.
Not in my house.
Oh.
No, I decided that needs to go on about a week ago, I think. It's been going on and off. And that's my rule. It's not, why is it a man rule?
Because it used to be the kind of law back in the day that your heating was allowed to go on the 1st of October. That was a sensible time when your heating going on. And if you were cold
according
before
to
that,
the man.
You, of course, your dad basically ran the house.
Yes, both.
So basically, if you were cold before then, you just put a jumper on or you put a, you know, a fleece or a cardigan on or something like that.
My dad still does that. He still will put a jumper on.
John also
until a certain day, he's like, right, it's officially time now that you can actually put a thing on. So yeah, so I basically made my family, I do it every year, I make my family hold out to the 1st of October, much as they hate it.
That's so unfair in us women, because we feel the cold, we're biologically made differently, so we should...
That is 100% true.
Yeah. Mm. But lucky in our houses, we are the...
Are you the trousers?
Yeah, we're
the
men.
We wear the trousers.
Yeah. Well, John would disagree with that.
So would AJ, but we'll say it here when they're not here.
Exactly. What's they can't defend
they
themselves.
Can't
tell us that. I bet Stuart's one of those, he goes marching round his house, turning all the lights off, going, it's like Brighton seafront here.
I don't actually. I'm not quite that bad, but I might. Yeah, I have been, you know, turned the odd things off. Or
I've got better.
Do you steal
at that.
The duvet, Stuart?
No, I'm the total opposite, actually. I need not much of a duvet.
All right.
Do you know what I noticed in Sweden? They have, in a double bed, they'll have their own duvets.
Yeah.
And I like that idea.
And you can actually buy a duvet now that is like 12 tog on one side and 8 tog on the other.
Really?
Yeah, you can buy them.
I like the heaviest tog possible.
Yeah, me too.
I love the weight of, I love it feeling hot.
Snug as a bug in a rug.
Yeah, snug as a bug.
Yeah, no, we got the, this is really fucking dull. We got like new mattress, but so we got half and half. So half a, mine's heavier because I've had back troubles and Jackie's a bit lighter and that sort of stuff. Mm. But I don't know where we're going with that.
So
that
do any of the bodily fluids just, does that just sort of pull in the middle? Which side,
whose,
left or right?
Whose idea was it to get this girl?
Yours.
You can't say bodily fluids around the subject of a bed.
I'm talking about sweat, obviously.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Quite clearly. You bought her. She's your mate.
Yep.
And you're going to have to deal with her.
I'm taking responsibility.
Still, we did get an email from a listener who is well known to the show, from a certain Adrian Velasco, who is claiming that he won the quiz last week. We have no proof.
Well, I was suspicious that he would win it, for sure. Oh, sorry, Stuart. You and he would have been up there with the scores.
He apparently...
Because you are good film buffs, aren't you?
He apparently beat my very impressive score of 15, but we have no proof that he beat my...
I believe him.
Sorry, Spag Stuart. Wouldn't say it unless it was true.
Well, I don't know about that. And he also moaned about the amount of finger tapping we do.
Right.
So, in return for him, I don't know what he's on about.
We don't do that.
We don't do that at all. So, basically, if you're listening, fuck off.
I want to meet this Spag. He sounds like a character.
Oh, he certainly is a character. So, we're going to start with, we're going to go into Martin's favourite, like, not like.
Yeah. Do you want me to go first?
You're the kiddie.
Are we starting with don't like or like?
Let's go with don't likes again.
Don't like. Okay, right. Well, mine is, because of what you girls were banging on about last week, I watched a bit of Married at First Sight. What a load of old chod, isn't it? Right? But which brings me on to this sort of pound shop alternative that the BBC have done called Stranded on Honeymoon Island with Davina McCall, which is even worse than Married at First Sight, right?
If that is possible.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of half Love Island, half Married at First Sight, okay? But Davina only condescends to be on the first and the last episode. In all the episodes in the middle, she appears on an iPad to all the contestants on the show. I mean, honestly, it's so cheap, it's so rubbish. But what I wanted to get onto about all of these shows is that the women in the shows, they have had their lips inflated to such a ridiculous degree. It's so disfiguring. And I don't know. I mean, it's something that I find endlessly fascinating, watching these ladies with balloon lips. If I see one in the supermarket, I have to follow them round. I have to follow them round and watch them surreptitiously from afar, okay? Because all women who've had their lips done like this, they can't stop licking their lips. Have you ever noticed? Is that?
I have seen that.
Oh my goodness.
There's a lot of people getting it done, but a lot of the younger girls are having
it
done.
Why? Why are you getting
it done?
I don't think it looks so bad.
And it looks so obvious as well.
Yeah, it doesn't make them look better.
It's not pretty.
No,
in
the slightest.
You just get so drawn to them as well. You cannot stop looking at their lips,
yes,
can you, when you're talking to them?
That's exactly what I'm like. And on the BBC, they've just sort of done an expose that all of this Botox is being sold under the counter, and basically it's so easy to get hold of, and there are all these corrupt pharmacists and nurse practitioners who are basically doling it out to anyone who wishes to have it. And so, therefore, it's so easy to get hold of, which is causing these misguided, poor young girls of 16, 17, 18 to get their lips charged with this horrible Botox. I mean, it's a disgusting
thing. And some of it comes from Korea, and it's not even licensed.
That's right.
And you're taking, obviously, your health into your, you know, you don't know what's going to be the outcome. And why would you do that? I don't understand.
Love it. That's my dislike.
Well, a lot of the, not just the Botox and that, it's the weight loss jab as well.
Yeah.
People buying that.
Online.
Not from doctors, they're getting that from
they're
online,
getting it,
and that's worrying.
Yeah.
I met someone in COVID times, and she was a quite huge anti-vaxxer and was very vociferous about her views on the vaccine situation. And then after a while, you're thinking, but you have no idea what's gone into your lips but you'll quite happily stick that in your face, but you're going on about the vaccine. I thought it'd be funny. I don't even know what's in my steak and kidney pie, let alone the vaccine. But this woman with this enormous like lips out the woman like from the Muppet Show, and going on about so she's like, thinking, and you just want to go and say, excuse me, I really sound like my dad here, thinking, you look fucking ridiculous.
But anyway. And also the practitioners that are doling out the, you know, doing the treatments, don't you just look at them and say, oh, God, I don't want to end up looking like you.
Totally.
That's what I don't get.
Yeah, one of the nurses who is doling out this stuff, she looks like, honestly, Frankenstein's monster.
I saw her.
Oh, my goodness, you have to check it out.
Oh, yeah. The one on Married at First Sight. Yes, she doesn't look very good, actually.
No,
it's
on a documentary on BBC. A ditty they did the other night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one of these fake practitioners. But I totally agree, Loney. You know, anyone who's had it done looks worse, not better.
Yeah, so that married at first sight, she does. She has it. You remember? And she looks older. We were saying last night, she looks older. Her skin looks beautiful, but she just looks older.
And if you're too much of it, it makes you look like a cat. You start looking like a cat. I mean, you might as well walk around with a kitty litter.
If you ask any boy as well, they will say, oh, no, they don't want a woman to look like that.
Absolutely. No. I wouldn't go near a girl who'd had that done. Yeah.
No. Good one. Okay. Your don't likes.
My don't likes. The poo bags, the dog poo bags that are left hanging in the countryside on a tree or just in the corner when you leave the field or something. What is that about? Take your poo bags home. Why do they think? I don't. And in fact, one of my friends was telling me on a dog walk, because we were in the woods, and she said she had read that they want people to flick the poo into the bush.
That's what we all do in my forest with our dog poo.
Better to do that rather than all the plastic bags, flick the poo away off the path. But why do people think they can leave their poo bags?
Like, especially on trees where birds and things come and choke on them and die. And
why would you hang it on a
tree? It's really bad for wildlife.
That's one of my bugbears at the
moment. You would be far better to leave your dog poo in situ rather than pick it up, put it in a plastic bag and then deposit it in the middle of the countryside.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yes. So that's my dislike.
Yeah, good one, actually. It's so true. Well, my dislike is... people singing in musical theatre. Have you ever been to musical theatre recently where the person next to you thinks it's a great idea to belt out the songs that the professionals are singing adequately and beautifully?
You have to
listen to them and you're like, oh my God, you're spoiling it for me.
I've come to listen to them, not you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you know the words. That's great. Good for you.
Well, it's the same at concerts, isn't it? It's the same at concerts. You're sitting behind someone.
I don't find it as annoying at concerts.
I don't find it
as annoying. Musical theatre, I can't stand it in the theatre.
Oh, it was like really bad. Because, like, you know, Oasis was a 2-hour karaoke and everyone's singing along. I'd like to listen to them sing it, not you sitting next to me. Clearly, that's not my wife. She's the other side. But you would. It's just like, shut up a little bit.
I'm not sure I could not sing along to Oasis. That's the problem.
It was a 2-hour karaoke.
Yeah, it was. But I didn't mind that. But I'm with you on that musical theatre.
I think that's a great don't like, Sheena. On a similar subject, I love really bad Amdram, right? I looked up on YouTube once a performance of Les Miserables by some very small amateur dramatics troupe, and I think it was in America. Oh, my God. It was so shit. It made it really watchable. I couldn't stop watching it. I was so into it.
Love a bit of Amdram.
My don't like is sadly on football again. My great hope, my West Ham manager got sacked.
I saw that.
He got sacked. And
he used to be the Brighton manager.
He was the Brighton manager. And I had great hopes that this bloke was really, he's a really nice bloke. And I'd asked for him. I thought he'd be really good. I thought, he'd be the man. And he just wasn't. And I also really do like him because we share an affinity, me and Graham Potter, is apparently without either of us knowing it, we're both sniffers.
Really?
We are definitely both.
You just sniffed.
Yeah, just sniff. And I was watching him on his press conferences, and he's doing that before he answers the questions. And he's like, I was thinking, obviously me and Graham, obviously kindred spirits, and then sniffing away and this sort of stuff. But that was my sad thing. I was very sad. I think it was the right thing. It just didn't work out. But I was genuinely sad.
Henry met him actually up at the garden centre where he works. He said he came in.
It's just a really, really nice
he said
bloke.
He was really nice, really friendly.
Yeah, no, good bloke. So I was very sad about that.
But he probably got handsomely paid.
Be extraordinarily well paid, even the remainder of his contract, like they all are. But didn't quite work out. Never mind. Life goes on.
Well, so is that all our dislikes?
Yeah, got that off my chest.
There you go. Mm-hmm. What's your like, son?
My like, right, is a continuation of something you mentioned last week. And Michael Sheen, he was on Desert Island Discs, and he mentioned the movie Fantabulosa, which is a biopic of Kenneth Williams' life, which I watched this week. Honestly, it is the most fantastic movie. It's really old. I mean, it's 10, 15 years old, but it's on iPlayer now. And so it's available free for anyone to watch. And genuinely, it's a fantastic film. It's based on Kenneth Williams' own diaries, which he kept throughout his whole life. And I read those about sort of 20 years ago. But the movie, Michael Sheen is amazing at the way he takes off Kenneth Williams. He is brilliant at it. And Fantabulosa, interestingly, means wonderful in Polari. Do you know what Polari is? Yeah. It's a language used
by yummy mummies go and do every morning.
I was going to say, you do that on a Tuesday.
Close but no cigar. It's a secret code language which was used by gay men in the UK decades and decades ago when homosexuality was outlawed. And it allowed them to sort of speak in a way, a bit like Cockney rhyming slang. They could speak so they wouldn't be understood by others, so that they could chat about men they fancied and things like this, which I think is fantastic. So Fantabulosa, the title of the movie, means wonderful in Polari. And just out of interest, I'll just shout you a few more words in Polari. Okay, so Omi is a man, Poloni is a woman. They have this, what they call backslang, which is reversing the thing they're talking about. So hair becomes rear. Eek is your face. Some of these you would recognise. So slap is makeup. Yeah. Boner means good.
Oh. thought that may well be something else there.
A few more before I go. Cod means bad, tacky or vile. This one you would know. Naff just means uncool or rubbish. Trade means a sexual partner, hence the famous name of Trade, the nightclub in London. And finally, they add brilliant slang for the police. Three choices: Betty Bracelets, Lily Law, or Charpering Omi.
Oh, fantastic.
Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that absolutely fantastic? I love that.
I'll have to watch that now.
That's my like. It's called Fantabulosa. I recommend to all.
Oh, excellent.
Look at that.
Did they have old clips from the films, the Carry On films?
Yeah, but they recreate them in the movie, actually. Cool. So none of it is old clips. You know, it's very much a dramatisation. And so you see other Carry On actors portrayed in the movie, and it's done very well. You know, Charlie Hawtrey and Joan Sims. And honestly, it's a feast for the eyes. I mean, it really is a brilliant, fun film to watch.
Fab. Well, my like is... in America, we found that a lot of people would prefer to go out for food early for their dinner. You know, tables will be booked up 5 o'clock in the evening or something. And I went out on Saturday for our wedding anniversary, and we went out early, and day drinking is just and lovely. And I was home by about 4:30. And you could be in your pyjamas and just chill out. I'm liking going out earlier in the day.
That's right up my street.
Yeah, and then being home and then not going to bed late. So, and not having a hangover the next day, because you're almost over the worst of it before you go to bed.
In your Feels decadent, in your 27 dog
duvet.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, this European thing of not even going out till 10 p.m. Fuck that.
No,
yeah, I would have been in bed by then. Yeah. I would have been in bed for at least an hour by that time.
Yeah. I loved it. We went for a boozy lunch, boozy afternoon, watched the Ryder Cup in the pub.
And then, perfect.
I was home early. So that was that's my like at the moment.
Love it.
Day
love
it.
Yeah. My like is this week John and I went to see Swan Lake. It's the Matthew Bourne's version of it. And oh my God, it was brilliant. So all the swans are men who are really fit and muscular.
Steady.
And oh my God, it was such a spectacle. We loved it.
Was it like proper eye candy?
Oh, it was. And it was just, it was riveting.
I've seen it, Sheena. It is fantastic.
Isn't it?
It'll be one of the best things you ever see. If you ever get the chance to see it, it's so hilarious. You know, it's brilliantly done, isn't it?
He's
it's
a very
so clever
man, Matthew Bourne.
Oh. Where can you see it? Where
it was on at Woking, but it might be about to end, actually. You might just miss it.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, if you get the chance. Yeah.
Cool.
Mine
is the return of Blue Lines on the television.
Yes, I saw that coming back.
Love that.
I love, God, I loved it. And it's the third series has just come out. I'm going to binge watch it. And I'm going to break the normal rule in our house of having to wait for my wife to finish watching it. She's in London for the next 2 nights, and I don't care. I'm going to finish it because I can't. I've got two to go, and I'm watching them tonight, whatever happens. And oh God, I just love it.
It's
really, really good. I don't know how close it is to normal policing, but yeah, I fancy bits of it are fairly. It comes across as very honest, and they just tell a tale of how it's virtually impossible to do policing these days and actually get to any decent measurements. So yeah, that's really, really, God, I love that. That's back. Apart from Grayson, who gets on my tits, but apart from her, I think it's fantastic. So that's my like.
That's grand. Cool. A
lovely round. And I expect, because we're the pros that we are, mm-hmm. I think that's right bang on time for the first thing. So, time for the first break. Go and put the kettle on, and we'll see you in a minute.
Welcome back to part two. This is my first time introducing part two, or indeed any part.
How do you feel about it?
I feel lovely.
Do you feel it went well?
Yeah.
I think you're natural. It's very good.
Thank you very much. We're going to talk about Thunderbirds, right, which Stuart is bang into, but it's back and it's in the cinemas. So, Stuart, Thunderbirds are shit, right? So why do you like it?
I'm not even going to quantify that slur. It is back. It's 60th anniversary, and it's in the cinemas all over the country. Over 300 cinemas have taken it, and it's been remastered and remodelled. And my daughter is taking me on Sunday for daddy-daughter outing, and all I have to give her in return is pick and mix.
Oh,
which sounds wrong on many, many levels.
Would you buy it in Woolworths first before you go to the cinema?
Save yourself a bit of money. I'll probably spend more money on the pick and mix than I would on the tickets.
True.
But she's bought the tickets. But yeah, no, Sunday afternoon, I will be there in the cinema, two episodes at the cinema. Boom.
So hang on a minute. Sorry. Is it a movie or is it the...
It's
and are they just showing the ones from back in the day? Or
Two classic episodes.
Yeah.
Back to back in the cinema. So a couple of hours.
I was only baiting you, Stu, because actually I think Thunderbirds is great. I love it. And I've been watching a couple of the old episodes on YouTube. Importantly, though, answer me this. What does FAB mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
What?
It doesn't mean anything.
So it doesn't mean fags and booze?
No, it doesn't.
What?
No, they just did it and it stuck.
Really?
Because in Captain Scarlet, they say SIG, Spectrum is green. Right. And in FAB, everyone says, what does it mean? And apparently it means absolutely nothing.
Shit all.
It just means that's what they said.
Can't believe it's an American, not American. I always thought it was an American production, but it's British.
It was British, but they made it with American actors because obviously you tried to sell it to the American market. And that's why, even though it was so popular, it suddenly stopped abruptly because he asked too much money for it, and the American networks told him where to go eventually, and that's why they stopped making it, because if it had gone to America, then it would have been even bigger than it was, you know, in Britain and Europe.
Love it. Can I do a brains impression?
I feel you're going to, whether
I'm
say yes or no.
No matter what you think. Gee, it's like a dream, Mr. Tracy.
That's all.
We're all a bit speechless.
Speechy, really. I'm not sure what's more speechy, your impression of brains or that crow you had last week. I'm really not sure.
Do you know what was lovely on Breakfast TV the other morning? The daughter of the two creators.
Oh, yeah.
She was on there with the original Lady Penelope.
Yeah.
And she was lovely. And she was saying there's a new exhibition that you can go to.
There's one in London at the moment,
Oh, my gosh, the passion that was coming out of her. She was when her parents developed it, they did it in their garden, and they came outside into the house, and they were so full of it to their daughter. They were like, we've created something fantastic.
Yeah.
And the passion was there.
How do you think to create something like that?
I don't know.
No, it just
took a lot of work with all the puppeteers.
Yeah.
Yeah, the story of it's quite about what they wanted to do. And they just ended getting into puppets because they were so poor. Someone gave them a job and they just had to do it just because they needed money to keep this company going. And basically they thought, oh, we've stumbled on something. And then, but I suppose it was around the sort of time of the space race and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it was, 10 minutes.
And that sort of stuff. And kids' sort of fascinations. It might not be, it might be totally different now because there's so much other stuff out there. But at the time, yeah, it was so sort of futuristic and just like so out there that, you know, obviously the kids just adored it.
And the effects were superb. They filmed it kind of in slow-mo, didn't they? And they called it Super Marionation.
Yes.
And it made the explosions and the boats in the water just look absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
It sort of elevated their special effects
far
beyond the money they spent on it.
And the music.
And it was brilliant.
And the music was just brilliant.
Oh,
the music
fabulous.
That went along with it. Was just, he was such a genius, Barry Gray. But yeah, no, it sounded like a complete anorak here, but yeah, no, it was a
question for you guys. Who's got Tracy Island? Who? Any of you?
Someone knows.
Anyone make it on Blue Peter? Remember the?
Oh yeah, famously
Alex
made on
is
Blue
pointing
Peter.
Pointing to himself,
yeah.
Alex.
But Alex would be the age to do it. We were obviously too old to do it because obviously by the time it came back again in the early 90s, but it was fantastic.
God, Finley loved it.
Yeah,
all
no.
The characters were quite heavy cast iron, weren't they? The new ones, you know.
And so when it came out in the early 90s, it was great because I could go into schools and all the kid had Thunderbirds stuff and I was like, yes, sport and Thunderbirds in one afternoon.
Your dream.
Boom.
Oh, my two favourite characters, Parker and Lady Penelope.
Definitely.
Parker?
Yes, my lady.
That's good. You are good at this.
Good Lord.
I'm here all day.
Do you hide out?
Anyway, so that's enough about Thunderbirds. I will obviously be as happy as a pig in shit on Sunday afternoon. So the bigger news of the week was obviously it's been the Ryder Cup.
Oh.
And it's been obviously very well publicised about the behaviour or lack of from the audiences in New York. And did we all watch?
I mean, former cue to slag off USA. I mean, please, they shamed and belittled themselves, didn't they? They made themselves, to be honest, a laughing stock in front of the world.
Yeah, it was cringe.
In my humble opinion.
But it starts from the top, I guess. It comes down from the leader.
But I couldn't believe the awful chants that they were doing.
Disgusting.
I mean, it was just... But they were so rubbish as well. Get in the hole, get in the hole. That basic stuff. What's the other one about mashed potato?
Mashed potato!
Mashed potato.
So what does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean anything. Jackie says, oh, you know, would you like to go and watch it? Would you like to go and see it? I'm sure I would like to go and see the Masters or maybe the Ryder, but I just think I'd get so pissed off.
But they can't do the banter, can they?
No.
They can't do the chants. Some of the chants the English or the Europeans were doing was funny.
They
you
just
could
don't
see the
get
golfers
it, do they?
Laughing.
I feel quite sad for proper golf enthusiasts there because it was probably all the guys that don't even normally care about golf, don't you think?
Yeah.
But it's very... Golf is obviously so... It's struggling a bit over here because, you know, numbers at golf clubs aren't great.
just drop that pen from
I would just tell you, but it's just like a twitch I have to do.
I thought it was more like with the cricket and the tennis, it's a classier sport. I thought that they would
there
do
are
that
certain
at
etiquettes
golf.
That you I are absolutely more... you can say what you like, but when someone gets over their putt or gets ready to hit the next shot, you shut up, you let them hit it, and then if you want to start again, that's up to you.
But at least it started the debate when Rory has actually, you know, come out at the press conference and said
it's I mean in terms of abuse that you get at other sports, it's nowhere. It's nothing like football. It's nothing like... I mean, even stuff at cricket can get pretty bad, especially... And it's a lot to do with people that have been watching a sport for a certain amount of time and the beer just kicks in and you just start talking shit.
Corporate kind of...
Yeah, but a lot of people, you just start talking shit. But golf is so popular in America because after college, sport ends. Mm-hmm. There's no club football, club cricket, club hockey, club rugby.
Really?
Once you've done in universities... Or, you know, once your college days are finished, and if you haven't made it as a pro, there's no, like, you know, sort of like a club scene where you would play, you know, American football or baseball.
That's such a
shame. You know
what I
mean? So the thing that is open to them is golf, isn't it?
Mm.
Golf at the country club.
Mm-hmm.
And you all aspire to join the country club and play golf. So that's why the numbers in golf in America are just so huge, because you think, okay, well, college is finished. What have I got?
But I thought it'd grown in our country. I mean, even I've joined a golf club and our women's department is completely full.
Yes.
So I thought it'd become more popular here as well.
Sport for seniors.
Yeah.
Of which, of course, we all are now.
No, that's true. It's
huge.
It's
huge. Yeah, seniors cricket has just gone off the chart now. so many people are playing it from 50 upwards. The numbers are huge, and it's the same with golf. Load of people have gone back and started golf again, but it was really bad. And I felt really sorry for McElroy's wife.
Oh, having beer thrown at her.
She got
beer. That's disgusting. I mean, they say it's a small minority of people sort of making these chants, but there's hundreds of people surrounding these idiots. Why aren't they twatting them?
Well, what about
which we shut would the do. Heck up?
But the girl on the loudspeaker, she was
egging it on.
She was paid. She was paid to be there, and what she started a chant of "fuck you, McElroy."
Yeah,
where's that at?
But what I'm wondering is, we're all aware of it in the UK. It's all on the news, and we're all talking about it. I'm wondering if they're doing any self-reflection about it over in the States, or whether they've just dismissed it and they're not talking about how awful their
from what I've
fans
seen,
were.
They've kind of labelled it as a bit of a New York problem.
Yes, they have.
A lot of people have said, well, if you go to New York, this is what you're going to get. Mm. What do you expect? Because you've gone to New York.
Mm.
And there's, you know, baseball players have come out and said, well, I never ever took my family when we played in New York because it's a different kind of abuse you get anywhere else in the country. So just, it's your fault for having it in New York.
And good luck to one of their players who did come out and sort of say, didn't he?
Yeah.
Tom Watson, I think.
One of the guys that was actually playing, he was disgusted.
Quiet in the crowd. But Tom Watson, a famous US golfer, has subsequently said he was disgusted by the fans' behaviour.
Yeah, you can't exactly come out and say, oh, I thought it was great. But it is. But you kind of sort of draws a line of what gives people the right to think they can just abuse people left, right and centre. But some people don't care, do they?
No, and particularly behind a keyboard as well. The abuse that people get on social media and all of that, it's awful.
The good thing is it showed us as being very classy.
Yes.
All it did was highlight their brashness.
But also, I found out yesterday that the Europeans didn't get paid, but the Americans all got paid. The
really?
Players. They all got $500,000 each.
And they're meant to choose whether they now give it to charity, but they were kind of forced into that last bit.
But, yeah, they all get paid, but the Europeans didn't get paid.
So if it's 750 quid a pop to go there, there's a huge amount of money. There's a lot of...
the Ryder Cup is an enormous industry.
So who gets all that money then?
It goes to the Ryder Cup sort of, you know, association or the people who run it.
Yeah.
And then it's meant to be used for good causes and this sort of stuff. But it's a huge money-making industry. But the Europeans automatically give their money away to charity, as do the English footballers. So you don't take any money for playing football for England. I think it's just an unwritten rule that your fee is put aside and it just goes to charity. But the Americans, that was all that was kicking off 2 years ago about some of them saying, why are we not getting paid for this?
Mm.
It's generating so much money, why are we not getting our share? And then, of course, that kicked off before the whole thing went in anywhere.
But my question is, why is there such a horrible adversarial atmosphere in the crowd? It's like two tribes go to war, isn't it? And my thinking is that it's kind of encouraged by the political system in the US, where there's no sensible discourse about when they disagree with each other. Trump making up shitty little words for his political opponents, making up offensive names for them. It's just a completely toxic atmosphere in that country, from the political system down to their sporting events to their social media. You know, on X is a disgusting place to be. As far as I know, I'm not on X. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on none of them. I prefer to be away from that scene.
I think it's a bit of a free-for-all, isn't it? Mm. You can just pretty well just say.
It certainly feels like America is in that sort of sphere at the moment, where people are either on the left or the right and there's nothing in the middle. And sadly, they don't listen to each other. Their view is what matters. And
yeah, it's like there's a vacuum, isn't there, in the middle, and you're either one or the other, but you can't be somewhere in between.
But it's not just an American thing, because people behave appallingly wherever you do. I mean, some of the stuff, I was out in Australia in 2015. I was out there for some work when the World Cup was on, and I just happened to be staying in the hotel where England and Australia are staying, a place called the Langham in Melbourne, and the game is later that day. And I'm in the foyer waiting to go out and see a friend, and there's a Australian cricketer called Mitchell Johnson, and he was probably the quickest bowler in the world at the time. He is standing there like every inch the professional sportsman. He's like got an ounce of fat. He's like fit as you like. He's got his wife. He's absolutely gorgeous. He's just picked up like a £1.5 million to play in the IPL for 6 weeks. The bloke's minted, quickest bar in the world. Gorgeous. He's got everything going for him. And he's greeted by two blokes from Yorkshire who walk into the foyer and just start abusing him. Just literally walked straight into the foyer and started to abuse him. Johnson, you're fucking shithouse.
Really?
You're this, you're that. And he literally has to just stand there and take it. And he can politely tell him to fuck off because there's no cameras around. But these blokes, they're like, you know, they're balding and they've got a load of chins and they've got big guts and they're the polar opposite of Mitchell Johnson.
Yeah.
And he looks at them, he gives them that, you're such wankers. And they won't stop. They keep banging on at the bloke. And I think, like, what are you doing? Mm. And this bloke, he says, we're just trying to get in his head before the game. We're trying to get in there.
So pathetic.
And you're like, what are you doing? You look such a wanker. Mm. And so anyway, they were eventually, security moved these two blokes out. And he was waiting for a taxi like I was. So I just start, and I said, how much of that do you get? And he said, oh, more than you can imagine.
Right.
He said, absolutely more. He said, some of it's funny. Some of the Barmy Army stuff's quite amusing. He said, but it goes way beyond that. He said, we just have to put up with it.
Horrible. Why do people feel the need?
Why?
And, you know.
And you don't want to be too hypocritical because you say, I'd be lying if I haven't shouted stuff from the terraces every now and then. But to actually go up to someone's face and actually, literally, and the ridiculous things that you give is mind-blowing.
It's ignorance.
Ignorance. Mm. And with that, the second segment is now complete.
You might be doing 2 hours today.
it's only going to be a 3.5 hour podcast today. So, time to go and put the kettle on again, and we will see you in a minute. It's time for Paramedics Corner.
I've been given a slot. This is lovely. I'll be a bit brief for this time, but I've just interesting topic of time wasters. Like all services, you know, ambulance service has its repeat callers and idiots and so on. Often they're drunk people. Sometimes they are elderly people with Alzheimer's, for example. So not their fault, and you kind of got a bit of time for those people. I was once called to change the hearing aid batteries for an old girl. You know, a £500-600 ambulance going there to change hearing aid batteries and so on. Very often we're called for pain. We arrive at the job, and of course we ask them, have you taken paracetamol? The answer will be no. And you just think, shoot me now. You've called an ambulance for pain and you haven't even taken paracetamol. Come on. Another example of time wasters. There's plenty of what we call materna taxis going on. There are plenty of pregnancies that do require an ambulance, complicated births and so on. But there are some that simply just call an ambulance because they don't want to pay for a cab to go in. It is the minority, I will say that. But I did have a pregnant lady and her partner in the ambulance. The partner gets on the phone and openly says in front of me on his phone to his mate, yeah, I couldn't afford a taxi, so I thought I'd call an ambulance instead. And I thought, you twat. Honestly, I could have decked him. Some people really do treat the ambulance service like a taxi service. I was working on the fast response car and I've been called to an address and control got onto me and they said, this gentleman is called for a second time. He's already had an ambulance to him and he's declined to go to hospital. And I thought, right, we'll have a little word. I wasn't often strict with patients, but I was strict with this geezer. So I go in there, have a little chat with him. And he says, yeah, I want to go to hospital. I said, well, I'm a fast response car. I can't take you to hospital. And you're not having a second ambulance, okay? Because that's not how we work. We are not a taxi service for you. And he looks at me because he's lying in bed and he goes, I can't walk. I said, you can walk. With that, he gets up out of bed
and hits you.
He gets up out of bed, picks up the phone and rings the taxi. So, you know, but that's, people will take the piss if you let them. And you know, it can be job threatening if you are too out there with patients in terms of challenging them and so on. But that time it bloody worked and he did not deserve what would have been a third ambulance to him to get him to hospital. You know, you can't just pick and choose and decline an ambulance and go, oh, well, I'll have another 2 hours later. And lastly, I mean, this is a sort of little story that I've got about a young child I went to who was having fainting episodes, and she had had every medical check under the book, in the book. ECGs in hospital, what they call a tilt test, where they lie you flat and then they, you know, tip your body one way or the other to see if your heart is unable to cope with your body at different angles and things like that. So essentially called to, you know, a child passed out, which is very unusual complaint. So I get there, and again, I'm on my own in a fast response car, and I'm doing an ECG on a 12-year-old girl. I mean, this is almost unheard of, you know, because young kids don't usually have heart problems. And we go through all of this. Circumstances in this household is that it's a single mum, a really chaotic household, younger brothers and sisters around the place, and we're sitting down chatting, and I'm sort of failing to see sort of any you know, bad symptoms with this girl, and I'm sat on the sofa next to her. Suddenly she faints, but she faints like in a Disney movie. It's like the head wobble and goes and I just looked at her. I knew she hadn't fainted. So what became clear was that she would throw these feints in order to gain attention in a busy family. And this was happening at school. Anytime she fainted, she would go home. Anytime she fainted, she would get attention. And I said to the mum, you know, that I'm sorry to say this, but I rather suspect that what your daughter is doing is what you could call psychosomatic, or it's not a genuine sort of medical illness, and she's doing it for the attention. Almost the mum would not have it, but that was 100% what was going on. And I found that to be an interesting story, because, you know, after thousands and thousands of pounds worth of sort of medical investigation, it takes someone sitting there in the home to see her throwing this fake faint to kind of see what's going on.
And what did she say when you busted her?
I think in the end, she kind of really got it. I think, and I think in the end that would have stopped. But we didn't resolve it there or then. And I can't remember if an ambulance came and took her to hospital or not.
So if you do get a time waster, like the person, the pregnant, I couldn't afford a taxi, would you end up taking them because, well, now I'm here, I might as well take you?
Quite often. And kind of, why not? Yeah. Yeah.
So you would end up taking them anyway. Do we know anyone who calls taxis quite a lot and quite regularly?
Ambulances.
Strangely, well, they are her taxis.
I have one that's very close to home. My dear mother-in-law, who feels like it's a private taxi service. Yeah. And she's got a lot better, but she just really sees it as a fast track to get seen quicker, getting in. And so when we've gone in an ambulance with her to the hospital, and then we've sat for hours and hours and hours in A&E. She's got furious because why haven't I been seen quicker? I came in an ambulance, but she doesn't understand it. Even 3 o'clock in the morning, she's got better, I must say, but 3 o'clock on Saturday morning, she pressed her button on her wrist for her fall alarm because she knew that would get, and the ambulance came a long way, and my husband had to go over 4 o'clock in the morning by the time he got there, and the ambulance said, well, you're fitter than most 50-year-old patient we've seen this evening. But she wouldn't have it. She was absolutely, they did the ECG, they can't find anything, but we've tried to stop her. But and I wondered, is there a way that if you're a common person that does this, can you get fined? But the problem that we're finding, because then she went to the health centre on Monday and she started feeling rubbish, they called an ambulance. And I think doctors feel like they have to, once she's through the door, they're obliged to actually, they thought she maybe was having a funny turn, so they couldn't say, oh, this one's always doing it. What point do they say no more?
You're scared of being sued as
well. You're scared of being sued, aren't you? Just in case you get it wrong, and the one time, cry wolf.
Precisely. People have been fined and gone to court for abuse of the ambulance service, but generally speaking, this has gone to a ridiculous extent, 5-10 times a day for extended period of times. In my experience working in the ambulance service, no one was ever became a banned caller for the exact reason that you said, Stu, is that you can cry wolf, and one day it's going to be real. And so, you know, generally speaking, there was never a no attend policy put in, even for the regular callers, because you got the duty of care.
But does it get flagged up on the system? So when...
It's her again.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
There is a regular caller. So you would be let known that this person... I mean, if you work in that area, you would probably know this person, and all the crews would as well. Mm. But if you were, and you know, not from that area, it would get flagged up on your computer.
Yeah, we had to tell my mum pretty early on after my dad died that she was not to call an ambulance for stuff. No, you're not. That's not worth it. You call an ambulance after you pressed your button if it's really, really serious and you've had a really bad fall. Other than that, you're not doing it.
Well, she went into hospital and she stayed in A&E for hours. And in the end, they said, oh, we'll keep her in. So she stayed in the corridor all night. And I went to see her yesterday to pick her up. And she said, I can't believe I didn't get my own room. I don't have a flannel. I haven't washed my face. I don't have a flannel. I don't have a comb. And I said to her, you're in the corridor of the emergency room.
That's really strange, isn't it?
Yes. And also, I didn't get a wink of sleep. But they left all those bright lights on all night. And we went out. Every test was clear every single time. But she, in her mind, she does feel like she's having a heart attack. She does feel like she's... Anyway, but it's a long old story. But we're trying to get her.
I mean, going into A&E is almost like your punishment for calling unnecessarily, because they are not pretty places.
But that's her dream. She loves to pack a bag. She's desperate for an overnight stay in a hospital.
Yeah.
Honestly, I took her for a cataract surgery 2 weeks ago.
Shall I pack a bag, darling?
She was packed. It was packed. Her wash bag was packed. Her snacks were packed. Everything. And I said to her, you'll be there maximum of 2 hours. And she was fuming. She's desperate for an overnight stay in a hospital. So anyway.
Bless him.
Bless her.
And is that situation affecting your prep for Fashion Week?
Nothing will. Actually, I was a bit worried when she was in hospital, because it's one of those, you know, she's cried wolf so many times, thinking, gosh, could this be the time that she really is ill? How inconvenient, because I'm going to Paris on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of prepping to do. I'm pretty well organised, thanks to your lovely wife. Yeah. So I did come over and raid Jackie's wardrobe and she has a lovely collection. So I have borrowed 3 Chanel jackets, because my friend who I'm going with has told me the plans are on the morning of the fashion show, we're going to the Chanel embroidery department to make our own brooches, Chanel brooches. So we're going to see where they do all the needlework. Then we're going for lunch, and then the show itself is on the Monday. We have a welcome dinner on the Sunday, but the show is on the Monday night, and then there's a cocktail party.
Lovely.
And so I've got to have an outfit for that, an outfit for the embroidery. So I plan the jackets. And then the next day you go to a private shopping of what was on the runway. And so I'm literally hanging around back in the corner, but I'm going to be experiencing all. And my friend did tell me that the guy who's going to be driving us around is driving Madonna at the moment, because she's over for the Yves Saint Laurent show. So it is very exciting. It's very nerve-wracking, but I am getting organised, because I've got to have my outfits planned, because I have to send my friend for her to okay
them. will the driver comment on how ridiculous Madge looks?
I would have thought so, because I've managed to get it out.
Talking
of, before,
of ridiculous lips and silly injections.
He's very good.
And
he's very discreet. But he knows that I'm a bit of a... I love a celebrity gossip.
Try and squeeze as much out of him as humanly possible. Honestly, we want as much dirt as possible for coming back.
Celeb dirt.
He's driven Madonna before, and he did say that she just works out constantly. She's just working out. Yeah.
She's had a lot of work done.
She
became a very different person facially than she used to be, right?
Mm-hmm. And looks ridiculous.
She looks like a cat.
Yeah, yeah,
she does.
This is true.
Yes. But I'm very excited. Yes.
And you're to verify those jackets, your wife's jackets. Oh, my word. I didn't realise the weight of them. It's just the luxury in the fabric. Mm. I've never, you know, obviously I tried one on and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get friendly with Jackie now.
Yeah.
She's my new best friend.
The worst thing is she's got smaller feet. I was desperate to borrow some of the shoes, but I've had to actually buy some shoes.
Can't you just tape your feet together and just...
Like the
ballerinas.
Just chop a few toes off.
Yes, but I'm very excited.
I'll do that for you.
Oh, thanks. Oh, yeah, because you can do feet.
Yeah.
You know, the show, is that like what we would imagine to be a catwalk show? Is that what it's going to be like?
Yes.
Oh,
so exciting.
Mm. Yeah. And hopefully I'll do a bit of celeb spotting.
Yeah. How many dresses are you going to buy the next day at the Chanel shop?
Just zero. But my friend will be. She likes to get the current season, the catwalks. So my friend is wearing a dress to the show that was on the last fashion show in September. So she's got a dress from the runway that she's wearing.
Can I ask roughly how much a dress would that cost?
I'm not sure. Well,
you're not really allowed to say.
It's got to be 10K, isn't it? Surely.
10, please.
Is it more?
Well, before she had a couple of dresses for the show and Chanel took her to the opera. And one, I don't know if I should say it. Okay. She might kill me because I'm not. Yeah, she might listen. And no, it's a lot.
She got you to sign a disclosure?
Yeah, maybe. I better keep that one. But you can imagine. It's
we'll imagine.
High.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That jacket. Three extraordinarily expensive golf bags put together. Equals
really?
That jacket.
Oh my word, that black blazer. Oh, it's beautiful.
Well, beautiful. Loney, we can't wait for you to go because I just think you're going to have a right old laugh and we want you to get up to some proper mischief and we want to hear all about it.
Yeah, and get your friend drunk as well.
Yeah.
Well, I tend to drink her amount. She's not a big drinker, so I do all her drinking. But that's where I've got to be careful with the old jackets because I can't do any puking.
No honking.
No honking on the
honking.
Jackets.
Yeah.
Mm. Can you imagine Loney running around doing minesweeping at the show?
You'll get a goodie bag. I've done. Actually, you get a Chanel goodie bag. Yes, you do.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to see
that. I've done years of minesweeping. I'm not sure if I can do it at the Chanel show. It's normally a wedding thing for me. I've done that many a wedding. But so, yes, I will keep you posted.
Oh, good. So excited. Yeah. Right, the final Joshy of the show is someone who we know who, very excitingly, I actually met in Sainsbury's. He wants to know what our three most exciting endings or shocking endings to films would be, because he had seen Planet of the Apes the previous night and had forgotten how unbelievably shocking the ending of Planet of the Apes is.
Planet of the Apes.
And he was like that sort of, oh my God, I didn't see that coming twist at the end of the film. So that's just an example, like Planet of the Apes, where they're going along the beach and you suddenly go around the corner and you see the Empire, you see the Statue of Liberty and you think, oh my God, they're actually back on Earth. That's sort of shocking. So yeah, basically we want three down to one, three as in your least, one as your most shocking of the movies.
Well, I haven't actually done the endings as shocking. I've done them as my favourite endings.
Oh my God, it's going to be gooey and lovely. It's going to be gooey and lovely.
It is lovely. Well, I don't know what my particular order is. I can just do three.
Please don't say near them a notebook.
Ending. No, I'm not doing a notebook.
God, thank God for
but
that.
I am doing Dirty Dancing and No One Puts Baby in the Corner. Because, and then when they do the, I got goosebumps, look. And then, when they do the dance on stage and then he jumps down and she jumps. Oh, I just love that ending.
I think,
Patrick Swayze. Oh,
I think that's arguably the shittest film of all time.
No.
Honestly, it's just...
For me, I have to say.
No. Didn't it? Oh, I love Dirty Dancing. And my other one is Jerry Maguire when he comes in and she said, you had me at hello. Oh, that is so romantic. And plus Bruce Springsteen, The Secret Garden, the song that was played. Oh, I just love, I love Jerry Maguire at the ending. And then my other one, which was back in the day as a teenager, I love the ending of Officer and a Gentleman. When he walks in,
where we belong.
When he walks into the factory, and her friend is like, "Oh, because she
could have been me."
Oh God! And the mum is like, sees her daughter going off, and he picks her, and he's wearing the white.
Yeah, I remember that bit. Yeah,
that they are my three ends. So not very shocking, but just I'm all goosebumpy with those three. So they are my three favourite.
Dribble factor five.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more shocking ones, because I know the end of Shawshank Redemption was a great ending, but they're my three favourites.
Well, the three I've picked is the first one is The Elephant Man.
Oh.
I just love how John
Hurt. That was on the other day.
Yeah, he goes to the theatre and has a lovely time and is accepted by everyone around him. And then he goes home to bed and he decides that he's going to, for once, for the first time in his life, he's going to sleep without this being propped up. And he knows that it will kill him. Oh. But he's so happy with life. He says something to his mother, I can't remember exactly what, and then he lies down and that's the end of the film because he's going to die. And it's just beautiful. I cried my heart out at that. Oh, it's just gorgeous. Mm. My second film is Sleepless in Seattle. I love Meg Ryan and I just love the soundtrack to it and how she goes up to the top of the Empire Street Empire State Building, and she doesn't see him, so she's about to go, but Tom Hanks asks his little boy Jonah, let's go up and get the rucksack, and they meet, and that is it. They go down the little, oh, it's just gorgeous.
That is brilliant.
But if only Tom Hanks had known what she was going to be like on Parkinson, he would have turned around, got back in the lift and gone down.
Oh, she was wasn't talking, was she? Oh. She was, yeah, she was like bad. Pulling
just went,
teeth.
Went very, very down on my list.
Yeah. Oh.
And my third one is my favourite film of all time, and that's Truly Madly Deeply.
Yeah.
And I love her. That. You know, the ghost, she loses her husband, the ghosts come into their world, and it proves to be really difficult. And she then meets a lovely magician, and so she has to accept her husband is dead and move on with her life. And you see her and the magician, you know, leaving the house, and all the ghosts are at the window waving and crying. Oh, it's just beautiful.
That's one of my favourite films.
That's one with Alan Rickman, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Alan Rickman and Juliet Stevenson. And my dad used to always say, oh, Juliet Stevenson really reminds me of you.
Yeah.
And I love that because I love her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love that.
Great films.
Oh,
I've only got two, not three. I'm not a big movie aficionado, and I don't tend to remember films all that well for whatever reason, but I've just come up with two. The first being Sixth Sense, because it's the big reveal at the end that Bruce Willis is a ghost. Is that right?
He's dead.
He's dead.
Oh, he's dead.
He's blooming dead.
Yeah.
I see dead people. And like a lot of people who watched that movie said, yeah, I knew that from about halfway through. I didn't know that.
No, you did not at all.
I did not know that.
No, they're lying.
Yeah.
They're lying.
Some people have said that, but I didn't. For me, that was
a liar, liar, pants on fire.
Excellent reveal. So I quite like that one. And I'm a real big fan of Blade Runner. And I love the end where Rutger Hauer is there. He's a replicant, so he's only got a limited lifespan, and he's about to die. He's holding a dove, and he says the words, all those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain. Time to die. Lets the dove go.
That is
beautiful.
Very dramatic.
Honestly, it's absolutely
very dramatic.
Beautiful. That's not really that's not the end of the movie, but that's right near the end. And I find that so poignant. It's about death, dying and love and all of this stuff. Anyway, that's one of my...
Brilliant. I've got a few more.
Right. I was going to say, how did you narrow it down?
I've added a couple on since you've noticed. Because I saw The Elephant Man the other night. It was on the telly the other night. And it followed Carrie. I hadn't seen Carrie for years.
I don't think I've ever
seen
it.
So I watched it, and that's got a really shocking ending where they're so horrible to her at school. It's a bit like the American high school system of they're so evil to her. And I mean, I'm not expecting, you know, for her to kill them all and burn them all to death, but they, that was the thing. And the end where she goes to lay the flowers on the grave, and the hand comes out and grabs her, and you realise she's just going to be tormented for the rest of life. That's a great film. The second one, is The Godfather 2, where they're out on the lake, and you realise that he's going to kill his brother, and he's going to have his brother assassinated. And then you hear the gunshot. You think, oh, my God, he's ruthless enough to kill his brother. That was pretty savage. My best top three, the first one is The Usual Suspects.
Oh, that's a brilliant film.
That is a brilliant film. And when you suddenly realise, and he's walking along the road as the cripple, and then he starts to walk normally, and you realise that he's kind of guides a soldier. And he's just the whole... And his whole spun this story of the stuff on the wall. Just brilliant.
That is a cool
guy. That's just brilliant. My second one is Return of the Jedi, where he reveals that he is Luke Skywalker's dad. And I did not expect that at all. And it is good in those days because there were no spoilers. It wasn't on YouTube. It wasn't on the television. Basically, well, this is going to happen. And when he says, no, Luke, I am your father. You're like, what the fuck, Darth? Like, what the fuck? And my best one of all time is because quite secretly, I wouldn't mind doing it myself, is Seven, the film Seven.
Oh, that's such a dark film. It's dark the whole way through.
It's so dark.
Wow.
And basically when Brad Pitt's waiting with Kevin Spacey and they wait for he's going to arrest him, and they see a van come along in the desert, and he says, I've got a present for you. And he comes out with the box. He comes out with the box, and you think, oh, no, surely not. Then he opens it and he realises that he's cut his girlfriend's head off, or his wife's head off. But the wife, of course, was Gwyneth Paltrow. And quite frankly, I wouldn't mind putting Gwyneth's head in a box.
Yeah, she's Miss Perfect.
God almighty, she gets on my tits.
Very boring.
So you can't really, I mean, it's kind of illegal to kill people and cut their heads off, but, you know, it is Gwyneth. But yeah, they're my top shocking endings. I remember in the cinema, just my mouth, just like, oh my God, I can't believe
What's
done
the
that.
Film with the bunny boiler?
Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. I just thought of that. My God, I loved the end of that.
Yes. Oh God. Yeah. When they go in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You just find that it's like, oh my God, she's done that.
And I think we should say that we've done this movie endings thing at the request of somebody who wrote into us, Stu, didn't we?
No, I saw him in Sainsbury's.
Oh, you saw him in Sainsbury's.
I saw him in Sainsbury's the other day, and he'd just seen. Planet of the Apes.
Gotcha. Right.
Sorry, bit of a chest issue there. he'd seen that and he thought about the ending, oh, yeah, I wonder what the best endings are.
Well, there you go. That's it was good. Requested and we've done it.
And we've done it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Nice days.
So I feel the clock is ticking over. It's time to head on.
Yeah.
Anything exciting this afternoon?
Not for me. Anything else?
We'll probably go for lunch.
We're going to go for ladies' lunch.
And a bit of a wander around the
shops. Retail therapy.
Yeah, liquid lunch, early to bed.
Yes. Ladies
lunch, I am going to play golf.
Oh, yeah.
Since the first couple of days of May.
Why?
Because of your knee?
Because of my knee. I had a knee operation. So this is the first spherical object I will have been hitting for about 6 months.
Did you have a bad knee, Stu?
Amazingly, I did. I did. I don't like to talk about
it a lot.
You
mentioned it.
Shut up, fashion girl.
Question.
Oh, it's getting bitter. Yeah, should we shut it down
now
here?
Now it comes out.
Yeah. I was going to ask, what's your handicap then?
I've got no idea at the moment. I managed to get down to about 12, but I won't play anywhere.
Really? 12? That sounds
good. Yeah, that's very
good. You were in a competition, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in the Stableford yesterday.
We'll have to go
I didn't
around.
Win it, but I have won a couple, so I'm happy.
Let's go around.
Look at you golfers.
I'm generally...
Don't start. It's addictive, totally addictive. Best thing I've ever done, apart from this, obviously.
Yes, clearly.
Well said, Shayna.
Well, basically, we've got paramedic corner. Let's have golfing corner.
Oh, yeah. In fact, we don't even need
Sat
them.
There, we don't need them. Who needs Chanel jackets?
Exactly.
Let's talk Callaway golf heads. Right, time to go. Lovely. Have a lovely fortnight and we'll see you all soon.
Thanks,
take
guys.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
HomePod's Happy Hour was recorded in the United Kingdom and is fully owned by Stewhead Publishing Limited, whose owner is an absolute bellend.